Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ralph, I think you should introduce our next guest for the very first time in this show's history.
Well, gladly. My mentor at one point, and I never thought I'd have him on my own show, but I am glad he's not doing college football games at Tennessee anymore because I don't think we ever won a game when he was calling them. The great Chuck Cooperstein. Morning, brother.
Mr. Degenerate, how are you?
You know, you coined that phrase.
That is my one claim to fame as it relates to you.
Chuck, right. With him labeling you as his mentor, is that a good or a bad thing for you to be known as?
You know, I know. It is kind of scary to say that since I did name him the Degenerate, and I am certainly not from that particular school of sports watching. So I am kind of scared that he's kind of lumping me in with him, but I think he's actually done okay. Sean, I'm shocked that you've done okay for as long as you've done.
With him or by myself on my own abilities?
Well, no, I'm just surprised that you have survived being around RJ as long as you have been around him and had to do it and early in the morning at that. I mean, it's one thing, you know, if you're in the middle of the day, but my goodness, to be exposed to that at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Chuck, one day over a cocktail, I'll tell you many stories. I'll tell you many, many stories behind the scenes. Hey, when it comes to a call like that last night, how did you approach scripting a call? Now, that's just a regular season game, but the Mavs title, I always ask Brad Sham this. How did you approach scripting as a play-by-play guy?
Never script, but have a thought, you know, and the thought in my head, you know, when the Mavericks won the title was, well, what's the hardest thing in the world to do? And that's climb Mount Everest. And I was thinking of Sir Edmund Hillary. And so when, you know, you climb Mount Everest, you get to the top of the pinnacle and you plant your flag. And that's how that all came about. But it was certainly not scripted in any way, shape, or form. It was just something that happened through a thought that I had.
So whenever we talk about you on or off the air, RJ, I mean, he lights up and he's like, he refers to you as just an encyclopedia. Like, I don't know how much he would challenge you. He's RJ, he would just be a contrarian for the hell of it. But I want to see if RJ knows. Choppy, list Chuck's top three favorite sports in order, and then I want to see if Chuck agrees. Like, not the knowledge, what he loves. Or do the knowledge, too.
Well, basketball, I would say, is number one, college and pro. And then would it be hockey number two or football? It's not baseball, that's for dang sure.
No, it's definitely not baseball. unfortunately, because I really was a baseball guy until I got into the business. And then I realized how difficult baseball was and just how difficult the surroundings around baseball were. But no, it's basketball and pretty much always has been. My second love, I guess my pure passion play would be college football. I mean, I love college football. I love being on a college campus every Saturday. I miss doing college football every week, and especially, you know, when I had the chance to spend as much time in the Southeastern Conference as I did, not only having gone to school in Florida, but doing games in this recent world. I just adore that scene and miss it terribly, and just and am certainly willing to spend 14 hours on Saturday from the start of game day through Pac-12 after dark, and just be ensconced in my office and just be more than satisfied to just watch everything unfold in front of me.
Chuck, are you still a diehard fan of any team other than the Mavs? Are you a diehard of someone?
Florida Gator football.
Oh.
Yep.
Florida Gator.
How do you
Florida
feel about
Gator
that, Chop?
We don't talk college football, Coop and I, because usually it's hammer versus nail, at least the last 20 years or so, 30 years.
I mean, really, why beat a dead horse, you know?
Yeah, we're already dead. Just leave us be, please. Death taxes in Florida beats Georgia and Tennessee every year. Every year.
Chuck, when it came to baseball, like, do you love the sport? Did you love the sport, or you got out of it because of the difficulty of announcing it?
No, I absolutely loved it. I loved it growing up. I grew up in New York. I was a Met fan. Tom Seaver was my guy. The 69 Mets, I can still pretty much tell you everything that happened in that summer and leading up to that World Series title. I loved the game. And in New York's ultimately a baseball town. I mean, it's they love basketball, and if basketball is covered heavily in it, you know, they'll talk about it being the city game. But New York is a baseball town. And, you know, when the Mets were good, it was really fun to watch because ultimately, even though the Yankees were the Yankees, New York really was a National League town with the Giants and the Dodgers leaving and then the Mets coming in to take their place. And then, you know, when the Mets got good, it was like, okay, you know, the National League finally was able to reestablish its preeminence in town. And the game was great. I mean, there were great players doing great things. And it was, you know, when you knew that Tom Seaver was going out to pitch, you knew you were going to see him pitch. He wasn't going to go, you know, twice through the order and then be removed. I mean, you know, you pay to see aces pitch. You know, strikeout pitchers and home run hitters sell tickets. Today, everybody hits a home run, it's become so commonplace, and everybody strikes out batters, and that's become so commonplace that it's not special anymore. Even though the athletes are significantly better today than they've ever been, the game is far worse than it's ever been.
Voice of the Mavs, Chuck Cooperstein, joining us here, 105.3 The Fan. All right, let's get down to a little Mavs business. We talked Mets and Gators. I can't do it anymore. having follow the team as closely as you do, like every single day, you're ensconced in it. What is the biggest difference between this team this year and last year? I mean, their offense was historically good last year, and now they can't make a three-pointer. What's the biggest difference?
Well, that's not true either. Now, there you go, jumping the gun. They couldn't do it for a long time. You know, and for a while there, they were dead last in the league in three-point shooting. That's not the case. The three-point shooting's come around. Their three-point shooting is more than respectable. In February, the month of February, it's been top five in the league. I mean, it's been really good. Their shooting has been excellent here in February. Their offense has returned. The issue is their defense, and, you know, can they really ever get it solved? And, you know, the last two games on some level have been somewhat promising. For all of their issues, allowing three-pointers and a bad field goal percentage, and that cannot be ignored. The bigger issue for me oftentimes has been their fouling. They have fouled a tremendous amount, and you've got to be able to play without fouling. And the last two games against Memphis and Boston, they've done a very good job of not fouling, you know, and a whole lot more than they have. So, you know, that's a lot of times that could be easy points for an opponent. That's not happening now, so that's better. But, I mean, they've got to tighten things up defensively. Ultimately, that's going to be the story of their season. I mean, right now, they're not a whole lot different than what they were last year. The only difference as it relates to the record is that they've had so many more issues, you know, getting players on the floor, whether it be because of COVID or because of injury.
Chuck Cooperstein, voice of the Mavs here on Sean and RJ. The reason we got you on today is because 24 hours ago, Choppy was telling me your text message reaction to the Porzingis rumor. So we're like, hell, we can get him on now. What do you make, Chuck, of all this Porzingis trade talk?
Much sound and fury signifying absolutely nothing. Less than nothing. this is the worst part of the year in the NBA. It's 4 weeks of hell until the trade deadline. And where stuff gets thrown out and people, you know, start reading it and it becomes that game of telephone and it's just a joke. Why would the Mavericks, a year after giving Porzingis a max contract, knowing that he and their star player have a really good relationship, why would, and they're both 25 years old or under, why would they give up on that? And give up on it to a point where if you were going to trade him, that you would not get full value for him. I mean, just think about it. Everybody just needs to take a deep breath and think about it. And nobody wants to do that anymore. And frankly, you know, that article in Bleacher Report smacked of a scratch my back, I'll scratch your back, from the writer and the executive, whoever that executive is. You know, one of those, hey, you know, you get, the executive says, you know, I'll give you this in exchange for, you know, when I'm up for a job, you know, for a full-time, you know, GM's job or whatever it is, that, you know, you'll pump my candidacy. That has all the elements of what I just read, and it's absurd. It is just such a waste of hot air. I can't begin to tell you how bad it is.
Do you think they're happy with what they've gotten from Porzingis? Like, I know we knew we were getting, I don't want to say damaged goods, but a guy who's coming off an injury. Have the expectations been met?
To this point, I would say not fully. Because, look, availability is the biggest ability in the NBA and in any professional sport. I mean, if you're not playing, then really what good are you? But when Porzingis has played, I mean, have we forgotten what it looked like in the bubble? I mean, have we forgotten what it looked like after January 31st last season? I mean, where he was an absolute monster. But he's got to be able to get on the floor and play regularly and look like himself. Now, offensively, he kind of has looked like himself, but certainly in the February games. I mean, he's averaging 50, 40, and 90, and averaging 23 a game. I mean, who wouldn't take that? But they need him to be his weak side shot-blocking self, and he's not been that. And obviously, look, it's always going to be hard for bigs in a high pick-and-roll game, which the NBA is. And Porzingis, he's struggling in that area. There's no getting around that. But to ultimately give up on that so soon, basically a year and a half of play, and maybe not even that because of the pandemic and the stops and starts that have gone on here, that it's just preposterous.
Chuck, what do you think their ceiling is? You know, right now I'm saying, well, Porzingis right now, I don't think he can be the two. I wouldn't say he's the two that Luka needs to win a title. Where do you stand on that? And where do you stand on the age-old Metroplex question of why can't the Mavs get another big fish? And how are they finally going to get over the hump again since 2011?
Well, I think If you knew that Porzingis could play 70 games a year, then he would be that guy. Then he could be the seventh for sure. But you don't know that, and you know he did play 73 his rookie year, but since then it's been hard for him to do. Now, you know, can he ultimately overcome all that? I mean, there are 7-footers, you know, who have been able to do that, but others who haven't, and clearly that's a major issue. So from that standpoint, you do need, and it goes back to what I said earlier, your most important ability is your availability, that you have to be able to have a guy on your team, whoever that is, you know, who can give you 20, 22 points and play 70 games a year. Who that player is, again, I have no idea. But until Porzingis can get to that point, I think that's the one thing that's probably going to hold the Mavericks back the most.
Chuck, RJ liked him. Mike Bassett really liked him. When I was just watching his YouTube film, I was like, I don't see the explosiveness. How is this guy going to get by people? How is he going to defend? What did you think of Luka coming out? And What's the ceiling for him? How would you describe him as a basketball player if I was just starting to get interested in the sport?
Well, again, it's not necessarily about how fast you are or how athletically, air quote, quick you are. It's, you know, do you have a plan? And Luka always seems to have a plan. He knows where he wants to go, and he knows, you know, what he wants to do. And all great players have that. You know, all great players, even if we go back to Dirk here, we all knew what Dirk wanted to do. But could Dirk be stopped? No, Dirk could not be stopped. And that's the case here with Luka. I mean, Luka, and I wasn't the first one to say this and even to think this, but when Luka had, he had a huge first half last year in Cleveland, early in the year. I think he had 28 in the first half of that game. And Jim Jones, the longtime color analyst for the Cavaliers, you know, one-time center, you know, in the NBA with the Nets and other teams, Lakers, you know, he basically grabs me at halftime with his eyes wide open and says, "I don't believe what I'm watching here. I'm watching young LeBron." That's wow. What Luka is. He's young LeBron. You know, and maybe we're overstating the case, and maybe we're too close to see it. If somebody else on the outside is telling me that, why shouldn't I believe it? I think that's what his ceiling is. Now, can he take average to above average parts, as LeBron was able to do at times in his NBA career, and take them, you know, to the finals and even win the finals? You know, to that end, you know, maybe he needs a stronger second banana than what he presently has, again, because of the lack of availability for Porzingis. But I can't even tell you what that ceiling is. I don't think that ceiling exists right now. And especially with his 22nd birthday coming up on Sunday.
Coop, you never skip a beat. It's like 2008 all over again.
Oh, Chuck, you should know, too. I got in a fight with Choppy over, he said Luka was just more foreign Westbrook. So I wanted you to take that with you. Don't back off now. Say in front of the man. So these are some of the things you created with this monster.
Well, I would like to see the turnovers, you know, come down. I think that's, you know, if you're looking for areas of improvement, you know, I think right now that's the biggest area of improvement. But a lot of times I think what he does is it's more almost to amuse himself as opposed to anything that's, you know, lacking basketball IQ, which I think sometimes Westbrook does lack. I don't think that's the issue with Luka at all. But the game comes so easily to him that I think sometimes he does things just to see, can I do it? And he winds up not always working out so well. But, you know, that's what, you know, genius comes because of your willingness to invent and your willingness to try. And he certainly does all of that.
It was good to hear your voice again. If you want to get me on Trinity Forest, let me know.
Listen, I had somebody get me on Trinity Forest. How am I going to get you on there? I'm just a guy.
We're America's guests, so let us go wherever we want to play.
Chuck, you're loud and clear.
Chuck, thank you so much. It was an honor. Love to have you on again, man. Keep up the great work.
Appreciate you having me, guys. Take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.